Welcome to Snooze with Sam. Ambient sleep stories, meditations, and ASMR from Scotland. This story is called Hogwarts on Christmas Eve. The excitement is tangible. The whole of Hogsmeade buzzes like a hive of festive bees, all hurrying to get their last-minute festivities underway. It's an amazing sight. Every wizard and witch seems to be here, all wrapped up in layer upon layer of warm wintry clothing, desperately trying to keep out the cold on this Christmas Eve. But you don't feel the cold, for you are too busy soaking up the atmosphere with wide eyes and the most cheerful of smiles. Well, maybe you do feel the cold, after all, as you subconsciously pull your cloak and parka closer around your midriff, isolating a stray icy breeze. Thankfully, you've already finished the majority of your Christmas shopping, so you don't have to battle the crowds in an effort to fetch gifts for your friends and family. Quite simply, you are here purely to drench yourself in the atmosphere of this wonderful time of the year, embracing the love and care everyone so willfully radiates. Walking down Hogsmeade High Street, scanning your eyes high and low, left and right. The village hustles and bustles with all sorts of goings on. It is a feast for the eyes, ears, and wee chilly red nose. Every thatched roof cottage and shop is covered by the crispest snowfall. Small icicles dangling from their gable ends. Only last night did the overcast clouds above drop a lovely soft carpet of fresh powder. Much to the excitement of every student come the morning. Today, the high street has been packed and compounded by 1,000 footsteps. But the smallest snowflakes still drift down from the clouds above to the earth below, riding the still air. By the side of the road, every tree glistens with snow, like someone's dusted them with icing sugar. Between the trees, as well as amongst the branches of some, adding to the shimmer and glitter of the snow, hundreds of enchanted candles glow and flicker like wee fairies hanging in space. They move and sway ever so gently in the light breeze. Giving everyone below a little extra light in which to pick their next path through the snow and crowds. You pass some of your favourite places to spend your free time. Honeydukes, the one and only sweet shop worth visiting, in your humble opinion. Stepping a little closer to the steamed up windows, you can feel your face light up from the glow inside as you peer in. There are shelves upon shelves of the most succulent looking sweets imaginable, creamy chunks of nougat. Shimmering pink squares of coconut ice. Fat, honey-coloured toffees. Hundreds of different kinds of chocolate in neat rows. There is a large barrel of every flavour beans and another of fizzing whizbees. The levitating sherbet balls that Ron had mentioned. You can nearly feel your teeth aching at the mere sight of all these treats. You've got plenty of things like this already in your dorm. So maybe best to move on before you pillage the entire shop. Moseying further down the street, there is barely any room to squeeze between the excited bustle of witches and wizards. All of them darting from door to door of the village establishments. Zonko's Joke Shop, an ever popular place. But at this time, it is absolutely hoaching around Christmas. Full of friends who are desperate to prank their peers. With or without even the mildest of invitations. Tomes and scrolls. A beautiful little bookshop still stands suitably peaceful on your right. It would feel wrong if a place such as this, full of knowledge and literary tranquility, was to become overladen by loud and noisy students. You admire the bookkeep, peering over their nose through thin-rimmed spectacles, flicking through a fictional tale, occasionally watching the world go by. Next up, the Three Broomsticks Inn. The inn echoed with tipsy patrons. A constant stream of stumbling bodies falling out of the door whilst simultaneously tagging their mates to go in and take their place. The herbology shop of Dogweed and Deathcap carried on about its business as usual. Scrivenshaft's quill shop was certainly cashing in on the crowds by the looks of it, as so many people rushed to gift their loved ones a beautiful new writing instrument. The hairdressing salon is busy with those after a seasonal trim. You can see Dominic Maestro in his music shop, simply letting his musical instruments sell themselves. Oh aye, of course. There's Gladrag's Wizard Wear, one of your favourite clothing shops. It does stock normal clothes, if you can even call them that. But one of your favourite things to buy there is some of their famous, frankly lurid and garish socks. You can also purchase ones which scream when they get too smelly. But, of course, you wouldn't know, obviously. Next, along the cosy candle-lit street, was Ollivander's One Shop and Madam Puddyfoot's Tea Shop. The latter was brimming with friends and couples, all keen to huddle up and get a good blether over a warm and steaming brew. There's so much to take in. But as you stroll down the road, hearing the muffled crunches of your boots in the snow, you feel suitably festive and satisfied with your afternoon. Time to head back to Hogwarts, you think. You feel in need of a warm brew yourself, for a start. For for the cold is now starting to reach your toes. Leaving the Christmassy chaos of Hogsmeade behind you, you hurry yourself through the fallen snow, bracing yourself against the increased wind out in the open. Keeping your head tucked down, each passing peer and friend gets an excited wave and hello. But it's very brief, because everyone appreciates the need to find a bit more shelter. The snowflakes may only be small, but once a whipping wind carries them, they become little nose numbers in no time. Through the grounds of the school, you shuffle, speeding past gates, through doorways and chilly corridors, ever more desperate to feel warm as time passes. Is that a fire you can hear? Definitely your imagination just teasing you. Although, you do hope and trust that when you do reach the common room, the fireplace will be roaring. Finally, you're inside the main buildings. A little less cold, but still not what you'd call hospitable. Nodding to the great scholars and important people in the paintings on the walls, as you always do, and they always appreciate, you hurry up the foyer steps, leaving snowy footprints on the rugs and wooden floorboards as you go. The janitor will not appreciate that. Upon reaching the common room door, you shiver the worst of the cold away, as you utter the password through trembling lips. Painfully slowly, the doorway opens, taking its sweet time. But oh, there it is. Warmth. The fireplace. Is this what bliss feels like? Surely it must be. Through the threshold you step. Closing the great heavy door behind you with a deep bassy clunk. Your whole bodily tension drains away from you. The heat from the fireplace on the far wall engulfing you. You do love the common room. It's such a lovely place. Spend time and relax. It's full of old books, lovely ancient artwork, and bonny, ornate furniture. Dating back centuries. Most of it crafted from dark stained mahogany or oak wood. In the center of the room, big, squishy leather Chesterfield sofas huddle around the huge log-burning fire. Small side tables, oil lamps, and candles scattered around as essential ancillaries. Between long hanging curtains, the windows looking to the outside are plastered in snowfall. Every window frame ledge gathering flakes. It looks very cold indeed. A timely reminder of where you've just come from. But no longer are you cold. Your nose and ears turn red hot as the circulation returns to them. Ron, Hermione, and Harry knew you were coming back around this time. And, as they always seem to do, bless them. You can see one of them has left you a mug of steaming hot chocolate. They've left it on the coffee table in front of the fire, presumably to keep it as warm as possible. How sweet of them. They really do look after you so well. Kicking off your boots and removing your parka, they are hung up by the fire to heat up and dry. Before settling, you lift the box of matches on the table and light the nearest candle to your soon-to-be nest. It lights with little complaint, as it was probably near to self-combusting in this hot room anyway. Picking up the mug of cocoa and nestling in your favourite seat in the corner of one of the nearest sofas to the fire, you can finally relax. Allowing your shoulders to fully untense. An enormous wave of calm floods your system. You breathe a deep sigh, close your eyes, and take a little sip from the still hot mug. That is much better. Oh, you almost forgot. You've got a few presents which you've been told to open tonight. placing your mug back on the table. You reach down the side of the sofa to a small pile of mostly neatly wrapped gifts, fit with lovely wee bows and ribbon. Every year, you insist that you don't want or need any gifts. But just as you do yourself, you know that they all love to give on Christmas. Taking the first one from the small pile, you read the label. With love, from Hagrid. Bless him. This one's rough and readily wrapped. As you'd expect from him. His big hands would struggle to deal with such intricate work. You're just surprised it's not squished. Peeling the corners of the paper away, you pull out from within a wee tin of treacle fudge. What a wonderful gift. He always gives you some. Every year. You think he enjoys it more himself, probably. Thank you, Hagrid. You think to yourself. Next, another wee one, which feels like a book. It reads, from Ron. This one comes apart easily, held together with minimal string. It is a book. Flying with the Cannons. A book about the Chudley Cannons. A well-known Quidditch team. How lovely. Ron knows how much you love the game. you suppose the next gift is from Hermione? It's wrapped with perfect technique and absolute precision. You feel bad for even unwrapping it at all. Under the soft glow of the crackling candle, you pull away the ribbon and the beautiful Prussian blue wrapping paper. To reveal an eagle-feathered quill. Wow, it's so beautiful. The large, dark brown tail feather, so immaculate and elegant. She knows you're a bit of a bookworm and writer too. How very thoughtful. Last, but certainly not least, the large, soft and loosely wrapped gift. On the label, scribbly handwriting reads, "With love and wishes this Christmas, from Mrs. Weasley. P.S. Look after Ron, please. I worry." With a wee giggle, you pull open the string and remove the paper. And withdraw a big, cozy, hand-knitted jumper, which you cannot help but immediately pull over your head. It fits perfectly. How did she know? She's got such a keen eye, does Mrs. Weasley. Ah, this was so lovely, you thought to yourself. Bless all of their cotton socks. You simply cannot wait to give them all their gifts in return. Taking up your cocoa again, you snuggle a little further into the sofa, cuddling your new jumper. And just sit there. Knees tucked into your chest. Watching and listening to the fire hum and crackle away. It's so bewitching watching the flames. So hypnotic and soothing all at once. Hopefully, Ron, Hermione, and Harry will be back soon themselves, so that you can be with them whilst they open their gifts from you. That will make you very happy indeed. Maybe there's time for a wee nap first, though. It would be rude not to, in front of this fire.